Today's reading is Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. And thanks very much, Julie and Mark, for your presentation. It's lovely to finally have you visit here and be part of our church for today. I've known Julie for many years as part of Link and attended their AGMs over the years as well. So it's just a wonderful relationship we have as Grace Community Moorabark with Link and the connections that we've developed with them. So just wonderful to have you here and to have. Also, thanks to Phil as well as our representative on the board and all that he does during the week on Friday mornings just up the road. As the food delivery comes in. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you very much that we can be here today. We pray that our minds will catch up with our bodies here in this space after a week as we come together and gather to worship and as we go out. We thank you for the message from the scriptures that you give us today from the reading. We pray that you may, through your Spirit, surprise us with what you have us for us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in a future where God will one day bring things to their desired fruition. Maybe you do too. Maybe one day you'd like to see where you see injustice, you like to see justice flow in the future. I believe that one day where I see pain now, I will see healing in the future. One day where I see death, I will see new life in the future. And I believe in that scripture from Revelation, which is often read at funerals. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, mourning no more, crying no more, pain no more, for the first things have passed away. It's something we look forward to in the future. And I believe history is going somewhere. That it's in the hands of a merciful, loving God. But I also believe in something else. That all of this is in God's hands and it happens in his time. And that God doesn't do things on our timing, or my timing, and that patience and waiting is part of this journey as we look to God to work things out towards his desired destiny. And I think these are ultimate things we wait for when we hear about the wars around the world, Ukraine, Russia. We look forward to justice flowing through things. We look forward to no more crying, no more pain. And these things we wait for. And as we're given in the biblical account, it's not till all these things come to an end and fruition happens that we see total justice being served. But we have this little story here of the Canaanite woman, which seems to say something a bit different. That is, the ultimate things that we wait for don't necessarily have to be waited for. Well, at least in some part. we see in this little story that the future breaks in to the present. Now, this passage from Matthew 15, which Andrea read, is a short conversation between a Canaanite woman and Jesus. And she's an outsider racially. And Jesus, in this passage, seems to be shown in a very different light than we would expect. We often expect Jesus to have the punchlines, don't we? The last word. Let those without sin cast the first stone. We know that story where Jesus confronts those about to throw stones at a woman caught in adultery. Or Jesus says to the rich man, go sell your possessions. Conversation ends. Or go and do likewise when he talks about the person who says, who is my neighbour? Jesus usually has the punchlines, but in this story, the Canaanite woman has the punchline and alters Jesus' response. She says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus, it seems, is caught off guard and alters his response. So I'd like to share a few short, maybe just one short reflection on this story and ask the question, how does the Canaanite woman bring the future forward? And why is Jesus caught off guard? And how might what might it say to us for things that we would like to bring forward as well? Firstly, it must be said that this is a difficult little story for those who like a nice and polite Jesus. We often expect him to treat everyone with fairness and dignity, but I don't think it's so in this story. One of the great moral and cultural issues of our days of the last 100 years has been racial identity. Think in the US, Martin Luther King, George Floyd, and Black Lives Matter recently. Think getting down on one knee. Think apartheid in South Africa, or the Voice referendum in Australia. All these issues deal with the cultural issues of race. And there's a lot of prejudice and racial disharmony. And so our cultures are challenged towards this widespread belief that all humans are made equal, irrespective of race or colour. And that all people from different backgrounds should be able to live together in peace and harmony. We would agree with that, don't we? So it makes it even harder to read this story because Jesus is the one who seems to refuse help to someone based on their race. On the slide, verses 21 to 24 in Matthew 15, Jesus left that place and went off to the district of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from those parts came and shouted, have pity on me, son of David. My daughter is demon-possessed. She's in a bad way. Jesus, however, said nothing at all to her. His disciples came up. Please, send her away, they asked. She is shouting after us. And Jesus said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. On the next slide, I've just got a picture of Tyre and Sidon. Sorry for the smallness of that. If you can just get a picture of the Middle East, Canaan, Palestine, Tyre and Sidon are up there at the top where the red circle is. It's some distance from Jerusalem and it's some distance from Galilee where Jesus often did his ministry. He just went up there, maybe to just get away from the clashes he was having with the religious leaders. So he wanted to get away on the coast. It's a foreign area, and this Canaanite woman, a foreign woman, comes up to him. Now, the word Canaanite is a charged word in the Bible because it brings up and stirs up memories of ancient foes with Israel and idol-worshipping enemies over against whom the Israelites often fought. and define themselves against. So there's this history there. And then Jesus seems to treat this woman as a subhuman. But I think we miss the point if we try to understand this story from our 21st century understanding of what Jesus should do. As with all good interpretation, we have to see it from the viewpoint of those who were there. And it's good to know that Jesus, in this story, is showing what his role is. His calling was quite specific. He wasn't a doctor sent to heal everyone that he came across in every part of the land. He was there to announce God's promises to the people of Israel, and that their deep stories, prophecies, their history was being fulfilled in him. And so his role was to go to the children of Israel first and announce these prophecies are being fulfilled. He was to limit his work to the people of Israel. But we also know that the work that God is doing through the people of Israel will also spill out to the whole world. But Jesus wasn't ready for that just yet. He was there to preach to the people of Israel, the Jewish people. But this Canaanite woman comes up. And as with so much what happens in Jesus' public career, the future keeps breaking into the present. These great promises of Israel being a blessing to the nations of the world were murmuring below and rumbling, and sometimes these things broke out. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus spoke about the remarkable faith of a Gentile centurion, so an outsider. And here he comments on the remarkable faith of another outsider, a Canaanite woman. Not only does this Canaanite woman believe Jesus can heal her stricken daughter, and you've got to ask the question, how does she know this? Maybe the news of Jesus has been spread throughout this region. She addresses Jesus as a son of David, which is a messianic title, there's some weight in this title. Even the disciples didn't understand Jesus in this way. And she knows that God's choice of Israel will also be God's choice for the nations around Israel as well. And so she, in a sense, accepts this designation. Jesus refers to her as a dog, which is a difficult thing for us. It's a regular way to dismiss Gentiles as the outsiders, as the dogs. But this woman accepted that, okay, she's an outsider, but her remarkable faith broke through and said, I don't want to wait for it. I'm in a desperate situation. Have mercy on me. Please heal my daughter now. I'm not one of your insiders, and I know that one day I will be accepted, but I don't want to wait. This is important enough for my daughter to be healed now. Now, Jesus still had to go to Jerusalem, still had to be trialed, killed, raised again. And then after that, Jesus says, go out into all the world, Matthew 28. But this foreign woman is already insisting upon the actions around the cross and the rest of the world right now. She violates the boundaries of ethnicity, gender, heritage, religion, and demon possession, and throws herself upon Jesus to heal her sick daughter. Why? And we sung about this, is because God is a merciful God. She calls out, God, have mercy on me. And she has a sense that this God revealed in Jesus is a merciful God, a God that I would define mercy as breaking the rules. She knows this God is merciful and will break the rules in order to do good. So I wonder, what things and issues do you have in your mind? Things that you're thinking about that you know will be fixed in the future, but are so important to you now that you'd like to bring the fixing forward. We had a Mirrabark Umbrella Group meeting on Thursday night, just across the park in the Red Earth Room. The Mirrabark Umbrella Group is a local township group that brings together various community people. Our previous senior pastor, Randall, had set this up. It's been going for a few years, and our church is quite involved because we like to be involved in the community. I think half the committee is from this church. So we're committed to the community in various ways. And we had a meeting on Thursday night, and we know about, and Spud, Matt, prayed about this, the cost of living pressures on people, the housing crisis. And we often think about those sort of on the margins that have been pushed, but we often forget about those who just want to sleep somewhere warm and dry with their possessions behind us, next to them, on the street. And a discussion came up at the meeting where we heard about a community of people living rough just across the street. And many of our community contacts know these people. We bump into them. We see them. We know who they are. We can't speak to them because of the language difficulties. There's a lot of trauma in the group. They come from a war-torn area in the world. They're displaced from their country. There's a lot of rejection and trauma. And so this community group was talking about bringing this up in the meeting and how we can help these people out. Our guest at our meeting was our local member, federal member for Parliament, for the seat of Casey, Aaron Violi, which Mark mentioned. And as we discussed these people, our federal member, Aaron, said, oh, maybe we can raise the issue. And he said he's going to bring it to the attention of a few people who work in the homeless space in order to help these men, a small group of men living rough. And as we were talking about it, my heart went out to these people living on the streets. And I thought one day these things will be made well. Like one day in the future, all these things will be, there will be healing, there will be repair, there will be peace, there will be trauma dealt with. And perhaps Revelation 21 comes to mind when there will be no more dying, crying, or death or pain. But is this the sort of issue that the Canaanite woman brings attention to us? Something that we would yell out to Jesus about. Something that we can't wait to be fixed, but we want it to be fixed now. Perhaps these are the sort of issues that we face today that we might imagine will be fixed up in the future when things are fulfilled, but they ought to be brought up and claimed for the present. So I wonder, what issues are on your minds that you know one day will be solved, but in the theme of the Canaanite woman, would like to bring these things to Christ now to be fixed? And in a sense, breaking the rules with the future breaking into the present. God is a God of mercy. And some of these issues that we have in our community, that our church is involved with, maybe you're involved with personally, some of these issues simply we can't wait for them to be fixed in sometime in the future. This story of the Canaanite woman gives us permission to ask for things to be fixed now, for the future to, in some small way, break into the present, for God's mercy to break into the present now. We've just had our Link guests here today, And in essence, what Link does and our involvement with them and partnership with them is bringing the future rule of Christ, breaking it into the present, caring for people in need, showing that love, that grace that Mark told us about. And, got it, Kieran? And we do all these things. We often find ourselves being involved with the future breaking into the present. And I'd like you to, in the future, in the next week ahead, to pray about this. Pray about how might the issues on our hearts, on our minds, how might we ask for these things to break through into the present, for pictures or signposts of God's kingdom to be evident now. I have a prayer to finish up with, but next week we look forward to having Al Kajava to come to speak to us, to give us an update from the International Grace Communion International Conference we had a few months ago. So Al will speak here next week. But I'd like to end on a prayer. This prayer is from the Bread of the World website, based on Matthew 15 and the Canaanite woman. O Christ our Lord, as the Canaanite woman brought her daughter's need to you, overcoming stigma and rejection to do so, confident of your healing in her life, we bring the needs of others in prayer. Those for whom pain is a constant companion, those who daily live with chronic illness or ill health, those who struggle with the confusion and distress of mental illness, those who care for and treat people who are ill and sometimes have agonising decisions to face, those for whom treatment is not available or affordable, and for ourselves, even in our own weakness. To all your children everywhere, Lord Jesus Christ, bring healing, bring peace. Amen. I'll pass you back on to our final song.